Welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change in our communities and beyond, and how today's choices will impact tomorrow's community. This program is a project of KCBX and its program hosts. Our program is recorded today, but we do invite you to send any follow-up questions you have from our conversation today to voices@kcbx.org. Your host this week is Dr. Lotta Murty. Right now, let's join Dr. Lotta Murty and her guests on Central Coast Voices. Over to you, Lotta.
Thank you, Brad. Welcome, Javier, Lorena, and Jackie. Bienvenidos. I'm so glad you could join us today to talk about Tequio Youth. Jackie and Lorena, I'm looking forward to talking to you during the second half of the show. But first, Javier, I'd like to talk to you about Tequio Youth. Mm-hmm. What does Tequio Youth mean?
Well, Tequio Youth means working and providing resources to the youth of MICOP. MICOP essentially means Mixteco Indigenous Organization Projects based out in the three counties. That would be Oxnard, Santa Barbara County, and Paso Robles County.
And who are Mixteco?
Mixteco, we are an indigenous group pretty much based out of all over a part of California, really. But yeah, we are an indigenous group of many indigenous group from Mexico.
And what does Tequio mean?
Tequio essentially means offering community work service. What Tequio is for Mixteco or Mixteco groups is you provide community work services to be part of the community. Or cuando chino, in what that means is basically what I just translated earlier, providing services to be part of the community. Yeah.
And so when did Tequio Youth start?
It started in 2010. It started with the youth that we have here with us today, pretty much just volunteer groups that want to see a difference in their community from their own peers. Yeah.
And so is that the same time MICOP started?
No, MICOP actually started in 2008. And 2 years later, a group of youth formed Tequio, which then snowballed into a larger group. Essentially, there's Tequio in both counties, Santa Barbara and Oxnard at this point. And in both counties, there's over 65 youth participating in Tequio.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So Tequio is really about community involvement, community engagement, giving back.
Let me answer that. Tequio essentially, what Tequio does is to promote indigenous identity, reduce discrimination, promote higher education within the Mixteco or indigenous communities or migrant workers communities that we serve. And yeah.
And could you talk some more about Tequio Youth's major accomplishments so far since 2010? So that's been about 15 years now. Mm-hmm. What are some things that Tequio Youth has done both in Oxnard and in Santa Maria?
Yeah. So not too long ago, we started our campaign for No Me Llames Oaxaquita. So a lot of our youth do face discrimination based on their roots, being Oaxaqueños or Mixtecos. So there's this campaign a resolution that they put into the school board system where you can't call kids Oaxaquita or Inditos. Which is pretty discriminatory term to call indigenous folks or Oaxacan folks. Moving on, we're working on a drug policy to promote to the indigenous youth of Santa Maria and Oxnard. And that's in the works now with FLA, Future Leaders of America.
Great. So it's the 65 youth, and most of them are in high school. Or all of them?
Most of them are high school. Our target populations are 13 to 21.
13 to 21. So you also have some college students or those outside of high school as well.
Yeah, we're open to all students. Some in community colleges or college students, or some that do come back after they've gone off to college.
And so most of the young people in TechUU they lived in the Central Coast most of their lives, they've grown up here, or have they come while in elementary school age, or what are most of their stories?
So our TechUU youth stories are very diverse. There are some that are born and raised here in the Central Coast. There are new arrivals from Mexico, and yeah, of diverse backgrounds.
So, Oaxaqueños, can you tell us, who are Oaxaqueños?
Oaxaqueños are just our folks are either came from Oaxaca or have roots from Oaxaca.
And Oaxaca is a state?
A state in southern Mexico.
In southern Mexico. And what is TechUU's relationship with MICOP as a whole right now?
TechUU is just a branch or program within MICOP. So essentially it's the MICOP serves a diverse, works with diverse groups in the Mixteco community. So there's a program that works with mothers, Mixteco mothers. There's folks that work with folks that works in the fields or in school systems or the youth that we work with. So essentially there's a variety of programs that serves Mixteco folks in the community.
And how did you find out about MICOP and TechUU Youth?
Well, being Mixteco myself, and Mixteco folks in the community are very tight with their community. So we grew up raised in the community and knowing anyone that works within the community. So I've known about MICOP and TechUU since my high school years, and that's 13 years ago, because I've been involved in the community as well.
And so when you say community, what does that mean to you?
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me preface. Yes. When I say community, I mean Mixteco folks. Because Mixteco folks, we tend to have a very tight-knit community within the Central Coast. Yeah.
And so does this include the Mixteco community in Oxnard and Santa Maria? Are both communities also collaborating with each other, or
So when I say communities, elaborate a little bit more. Yeah, so community could mean for the Mixteco community from down to San Diego to up to Salinas or Fresno. So yeah, it's a very we're very large. We tend to settle in very rural areas where there's farm works, because majority of the people are migrant farm workers. So yeah, we have. Our community base are stretched from San Diego to Fresno, Salinas, Paso Robles, Oxnard. We're a large group, and we settle pretty much everywhere there's farm work.
And for our listeners who don't know, Mixteco people don't always speak or know Spanish, right? They're Mixteco languages. Can you talk some more?
Yeah, you're looking at him, Lata. No. So, unfortunately, there's a lot of folks that don't know Spanish because Mixteco is an indigenous language, not a European language. And yeah, a lot of our folks don't know Spanish. So they move out here, they struggle with learning Spanish, or yeah, it's a totally completely different language than a European language.
Like and Spanish. It's more than one language.
Yeah,
correct?
There's different diverse. Mixteco is a diverse language. There's different. There are different varieties and regions of Mixteco as well.
And what are some of those?
Yeah, for instance, my Mixteco is from San Juan Piña, Huslahuaca. There's San Juan Estados, there's San Martin Peras. And yeah, it very it that Mixteco varies drastically. If I can share a story.
Yeah, please.
If I can share a story and how much this... So essentially, we can all understand each other, but you need to hang out. You need to talk with these folks or with your community enough to understand where they're coming from. So me growing up speaking my Mixteco and my mom teaching me her Mixteco and what I thought was very proper and very just respectful way of speaking, I approach a couple and start talking to them. Nai, Dai, to us that would mean ma'am, sir. And when I left that conversation, they were mortified because to them, Nai, Dai means honey, sir, honey, papi, I guess.
Like more affectionate.
More affectionate, yeah. Very just, mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're mortified until they reached, reached to my dad's like, oh, why is this young gentleman trying to come on to my wife?
Oh, no.
So, yeah, I mean, we essentially understand each other, but the different regions take certain things a little different.
Yeah.
It changes drastically. So, small changes like that can vary a lot during translation work too. So it's important that when we're working with indigenous folks like the Mixteco folks, that we give the right sort of interpreters. It's
And translation interpretation is a big part of the work that Michael does as well, right?
Yeah, that's essentially why one of the main reasons why it came to be, because the language barrier that our community face.
Mm.
Yeah.
And what is that language barrier meant for youth, like youth and Tekyo youth?
It means everything from access to services, access to services, which is essential for students to have a successful career. I mean, school life, I guess.
Yeah, so because their parents can't access these resources necessarily, then they don't have access to them.
Right.
Is that, yeah.
Yeah.
But then Tekyo youth can help.
Yeah,
with that.
Yeah, we step in. We try to, one of our core pillars is promoting higher education. So we try to fill that void by stepping in and kind of showing them the ropes to like really succeed in school.
Yeah. Both the youth and their parents, or specifically youth?
Specifically youth, but we try to keep it open for parents as well. But majority we work with as youth directly.
And these are not written languages, is that correct? They're completely oral?
They're completely oral currently. They were written at some point, but that's overseas they've been stolen. As of now, they're completely oral.
I'm Lotta Murti with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, your Central Coast listener-supported radio station. My guest for the first half of the show is Javier Mondar, program co-coordinator for Tekyo Youth. And we are talking about the leadership development and advocacy that Tekyo Youth engages in with Indigenous Mexican youth on California's Central Coast. During the second half of this show, I will be talking with Yaki and Lorena, two youth members of Tekyo Youth, about their experiences in the group. Listeners, this is a pre-recorded show, so we are unable to take your calls. But you are welcome to email voices@kcbx.org with your questions and comments, and we can share them with today's guests from Tekyo Youth. So, Javier, how did you first find out about Tekyo Youth? Or you talked a little bit about that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, I found out about Tekyo Youth back in high school. That's 13 years ago. And it's only gotten bigger since I've came back, actually.
So did someone come to the school?
No. So I would visit the MICOP office, and at that point, it was just a couple of youth, like 3, 4, 5 youth.
Mm.
Yeah.
And so, it really has grown.
Yeah, now it's like 4 times that, to be honest. And we've tried to reach out to as all the high schools in the in Santa Maria. Yeah.
And so those high schools include Santa Maria High School, Pioneer Valley High School,
Rigetti.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good. And so how did you become a program co-coordinator for Tekyo Youth?
I've always wanted to do this work. I essentially moved out and wanted to work with queer kids in my community. When I came back, this was an opportunity to really give back and start the work that I essentially wanted to do.
So when you say when you came back, what did that mean?
Coming back meaning when I left Santa Maria, I wanted to just pick up skills and work that focused skills that I can bring back to my community essentially, and that kind of led me working with queer folks and with their needs out in Los Angeles.
So you left after high school.
Yeah.
You left Santa Maria. You went to Los Angeles. And what did you do in Los Angeles?
I did mostly STI and HIV prevention.
Oh, okay.
I worked with homeless youth and housing. Yeah, homeless youth.
And then you came back to Santa Maria after how many years?
I would say it's about 13 years.
13 years.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were gone in Los Angeles for 13 years, and then you came back with the purpose or the intention of working with queer, indigenous, Mexican, queer, Mixteco youth. And so you found a space for that in Tekyo Youth?
Yes. I have found a space for that, but more, I found a space where I can really give back to my community working with the youth.
Great. So you always had Tekyo Youth in the back of your
mind? That was always a plan, to be honest. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Very good. So, Javier, what difference have you seen Tekyo Youth make in the lives of the youth that you've worked with?
Well, I've only been back for 3 months, but honestly, I've seen the changes Tekyo has made in the lives of many youth. For instance, you'll hear from our Tekyo youth shortly after me. But honestly, they provide scholarships now, annual scholarships. We provide retreats for our youth as well, where they can all come together to meet other indigenous youth from all parts of California.
And what difference have you seen Tekyo Youth make in your own life, personally, in doing this work?
Honestly, just seeing the youth in my community just prosper and just really drive forward is amazing, honestly. Because I see these youth as my own, like, niece or nephews, because they are part of my community. And seeing these the youth really go on and make such huge difference in their lives and in our community is so rewarding, to be honest.
Do you have specific examples related to higher education?
Our youth?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, our higher education, just the youth that applied to our scholarships. Last year, I would say we awarded 40 youth. This year, we awarded 69 youth. So, yeah,
And these are college scholarships
for higher education, yeah.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit more about the scholarships, that whole process?
Yeah, so we offer three different types of scholarships. So one is focused on STEM. And the other one is focused on social services. And the other one is just scholarships for open to all college students from community colleges, 4 years, or trade schools.
And who qualifies for these scholarships? Like, what are the requirements?
They are open to the public, but we do make a priority to award them to indigenous identifying students in Oxnard, Paso Robles, or Santa Maria, or Santa Barbara County. and or farm workers.
And so these are youth who are high school students, or the youth that have already started college as well?
So we award everyone from PhD students, master's students, or students are going into colleges.
Yeah, and you said you had 40?
40 last year.
40 now, last year.
Yeah, this year 69.
69?
69, almost double that, Lata. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And you had an event, right? Was Tekyo Rising?
Tekyo Rising, yes.
Yeah.
So that's an event for to really get funding for these scholarships. And luckily we raised about 69,000 or about that much, yeah. But yeah, thank you all and everyone who have attended or have heard of it. We will be holding that annually. So be on the lookout for that next year.
Yeah. Where can our listeners find out more about this event and about the scholarships?
So, yeah, we do have we are on misteco.org, our agency's website.
Yeah. And I heard some of the scholarship recipients speak as well at Tekyo Rising, and that was very inspiring. And I was also really delighted to see that the variety of different institutions that the students were continuing their education in, from community colleges to state universities to UCs, but primarily all in state. Correct? Have you had any go out of state as well?
Majority of them are in states.
So in California?
In California, yeah.
Yeah.
That I know of. Again, I've been back for 3 months. But yeah, that I know of, our recipients are mostly in states as of now.
But all kinds of different schools. So these youth are leaving the community and going to these institutions. What do you see as the future of these youth and of indigenous Mexican youth in Santa Maria and Oxnard on the Central Coast?
Honestly, growing up, not seeing myself represented in as teachers or as professors, and honestly seeing these students become professors or teachers or service workers in the community makes a huge difference, not only for the youth themselves, but the community in total, to be honest.
So the community in total, so outside of the Mixteco community as well?
Outside, where it's more inclusive, we see our voices heard and changes made within the community as well.
What challenges or struggles exist or are on the horizon for these youth, the youth that you work with in Tekyo?
For instance, just recently with this new administration, the ICE raids is one of the major challenges. It has instilled fear within our youth where they aren't making it to our youth meetings. And yeah, that's one major issue that we face, that we've noticed during our weekly meeting. We see a drop in our attendance weekly due to these ICE raids.
How are you addressing that as an organization? This drop and the ICE presence and raids?
So we want to keep these spaces open and going because we need them now more than ever. If anything, we'll move them online or through Zoom. But as of now, we're open to hosting them either, hosting in my COP office, but we're open to like adding spaces where we can meet the youth where they're at.
Yeah. So does Tekyo Youth also provide support to students who are scholarship recipients after they receive scholarships and they move on to other higher education institutions, perhaps away from the Central Coast? Is there ongoing support that Tekyo Youth provides?
Tekyo Youth, I wouldn't say they have support there, but MICOP as an organization do offer support after that. Yeah.
Wonderful. So how can our listeners support Tekyo Youth, these scholarships, and Indigenous Mexican youth on California's Central Coast?
Yeah, you can go onto our website, mixteco.org, and make a donation, or attend our sessions or attend our events, future events.
And other than Tekyo Rising, what are some of those future events?
As of now, it is Tekyo Rising. That's the only event that Tekyo hosts.
And so annually. That's every spring?
Every spring, yes.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Very good. And so if any listeners today want to start their own organization for Indigenous Mexican youth where they live, how should they get started? What would you recommend?
Yeah, I would say reach out to visit the website. There is a Tekyo page, and reach out to us there, and then we'll send you the resources to connect you to the right folks in your area.
Very good. All right. So we are going to take a short break to hear from our studio. Over to you, Brad.
Hola, I'm Maria Hinojosa. Every Thursday afternoon at 2, you can hear Latino USA on KCBX. Latino USA is a Peabody Award-winning radio journal of news and culture from a Latino-Latina perspective. It chronicles how we're living, shaping, and changing the United States of America. Tune in for in-depth reporting, candid conversations, and fascinating stories. Join me for Latino USA Thursdays from 2 to 3 on KCBX Central Coast Public Radio.
The Road Home is a weekly radio show of music rooted in American tradition. And that's a tradition built on musical influences from all over the world. I'm Marisa Waddell. Tune in every Thursday night for The Road Home, Americana music, its roots, and its branches, with plenty of new releases and lots of favorites, too. That's Thursday nights from 6:30 to 8, right after All Things Considered, for any time on demand at kcbx.org.
I'm Fred Friedman, and I host Jazz Liner Notes Thursday evenings from 10 until midnight. I play the classics from Miles, Monk, and Coltrane, up to more recent releases from Bill Frisell, Joshua Redman, and many others. You're bound to hear some music from New Orleans, as well as the featured LP of the week. Thanks for listening, live or on demand at kcbx.org.
Ahead today on KCBX, it is Latino USA coming up next from 2 to 3. That's followed by Fresh Air from 3 to 4, then Marketplace from 4 to 4:30, and All Things Considered from 4:30 to 6:30. Right now, let's return to Dr. Lotta Murdy and her guests on Central Coast Voices. Back to you, Lotta.
Welcome back to Central Coast Voices. During the first half of the show, I spoke to Javier Mondar, Program Co-Coordinator for Tekyo Youth Group, part of MICOP, or the Mixteco Indígena Community Organizing Project. And we talked about Indigenous Mexican youth on California's Central Coast and how Tekyo Youth supports these young people. During the second half of the show, I will be talking to two youth members of Tekyo Youth Group, Lorena and Yaki. Listeners, this is a pre-recorded show, so we can't take your calls, but please email your questions for today's guests to voices@kcbx.org, and we will pass them on after the show. Yaki and Lorena, thank you for being here today to talk to me about your experiences with Tekyo Youth. Can you tell me when each of you joined Tekyo Youth?
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, at first, like, thank you for having us. And I first started off about a year ago, basically. So, yeah, so that's when I started off.
So you started around 2024?
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Yeah, and you've been in for a year.
Yeah, basically a year.
Okay. Lorena?
Hi, thank you once again for having us. And I started the same time around Yaki, so I'd say like around a year ago as well.
Very good, so around 2024. And so you are, I know it's summer right now, you're both going to be juniors in high school, so you started your sophomore years.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you find out about Daekyo Youth?
Oh, well, I found out about through a friend, and basically she was, like, telling me about this, like, program and how, like, it's, like, a really good, like, safe space. And then I was like, oh, like, that sounds fun. So then I kind of just went, and then I kind of just, like, stayed. Yeah, basically.
And you stayed. How about you?
Well, I joined through Yaki. She was telling me about it. And, well, like, the way she was, like, talking about Daekyo made me, like, interested. So we ended up going.
All right. Very good. So, so you went, and what were the reasons you decided to join the group?
Well, I wanted to join the group because personally me, like, I like to keep myself occupied, and I felt like doing something, like, good for my community, and it, like, also kind of benefits me, and plus, like, I got food. I got free pizza. So I was like, yeah, like, this seems like a fun program, and, like, the people there are, like, very welcoming, and they're, like, very, like, especially, like, the other youth, they're, like, very, like, they're funny. So, yeah, I like it.
Good. And you, Lorena?
What was the question again?
So what made you decide you wanted to join the group?
Well, I think after the first meeting, I decided to join because, like what Yaki said, it's a really welcoming place. And, like, first meeting there, I felt like I belonged. The people that, well, like, the other youth that were, like, really nice to me. And then, like, also just hearing about, like, what Daekyo was about. And, like, just after the first meeting, it seemed like something I wanted to be involved with, especially since, like, we could, like, I get to learn, and then as well as, like, learning, I also get to, like, give back to my community in ways.
Yeah, so what are the activities that you do with Daekyo Youth?
It's kind of like a big mix, you know, like, sometimes, like, we do this stuff with, like, mental health, and, like, other times we just do, like, fun activities. Like, for Mother's Day, we made, like, these cute little ramos, and it's, like, very fun. And I think, like, also we have, like, our Oye trip, like, once a year, right? And, like, it's, like, a visit, like, the retreat that Javier was talking about, and, like, it's really fun because you get to meet, like, other people with, like your similar, like, you know, like, experiences, kind of. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What are ramos?
Ramos, it's like a bouquet, basically. It's like a bouquet of flowers, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you do that for Mother's Day?
Yeah.
Yeah. And where's the retreat?
In some forest. I'm not really sure the location. All I know is that it's like in a cabin, no? They, like, yeah, they have cabins and we get to sleep in. It's kind of scary at night, but yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, so it's like camping.
Yeah.
Is that your first time camping?
Actually, yeah, it was.
Yeah? Was that your first time camping,
yeah, it was,
too, Lorena?
Yeah.
Yeah? Are there any other activities that you're involved in that you want to talk about with Daekyo Youth?
There's another thing, too, like the food distribution. I haven't, like, been able to do that yet, but I know Yaki was able to do it, so that's one of the activities that they do. But, like, yeah, we just do a bunch of different activities, some focused on, like, holidays that are going to happen. Like, I know last year we had a little Christmas party, and we just got to play games and stuff. And we also did Secret Santa, and then... I think that's all I can think of.
So these are meetings once a week?
Yeah.
Yeah? And are you thinking about college?
Yeah.
And do you talk about that at these meetings at all or not yet? Is that going to come up, you think, next year?
I would say, like sometimes we do, definitely. Like, with Teresa, I know that she's always checking up, like, on the youth, like, making sure that, like, we're going, like, on a good route, and then we have, like, a good plan, like, for our future. But I'm not sure about, like, have meetings, like, fully just focused on college, but it definitely does, like, surface.
Yeah. And so Teresa works with Javier, right, mm-hmm, as the other youth program, or Daekyo Youth co-coordinator. So very good. So what is your favorite thing about Daekyo Youth? Lorena?
I would say probably just the environment, because, like, once again, it's, like, it's a really welcoming place, especially just being new there. Like, everyone just welcomes you there. And I would also say the activities, because I know like Teresa, she sets up a lot of fun activities with us. Like what Yaki said, the Mother's Day activity where we got to make the ramos for our moms. And then another activity that we got to do was we got to make cake pops and like chocolate covered strawberries. So I would say like mainly the activities is like one of my favorite things there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds fun.
Oh, yeah. I think I also agree with Lorena, the activities, especially because I know like we also like host movie night sometimes, and like it was like a pajama movie night, and there was a lot of snacks, and I think it was really fun. Like overall, like the environment's like a really like safe space, and it's like very welcoming. Like you feel like you belong there.
That's great. So what are the movies that you've seen? Do you remember?
I don't really remember the names, but they're focused on like other like Mexican youth stories, like about like how like their lives are and like how like sometimes they face discrimination and like how like they become more of themselves, like other than that, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you like the movies too?
No. Yeah.
Yeah. So what difference has Thank You Youth made in your life that you've seen? You made more friends?
Okay, so kind of like at the beginning of the year, like in my sophomore year, I was kind of more like, like, you know, kind of like a shy person. Like I was more introverted. But I feel like ever since I joined Tekyo, I was able to like get out of like my shell. I became like more extroverted, and I was able just like to find a place of like my people, of a place like where I belong. And I felt like it was just like really like, oh, like I know like I'm not the only person like dealing with these type of stuff. And like I know that there's like resources and there's people like that are help, that are gonna help me and that want to help me.
Yeah, when you say these type of stuff, what kinds of things?
Like other people that like have like experience like I don't know, like working in like farms, for example, some people like that, or like some people who like are also concerned about like the ICE raids and like people like who face like the same discrimination. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to add to that, Lorena?
Yeah, like what Yaki said, I feel like it's the same thing with me, because I know like a lot of the youth there face the same issues like I do as well, and they all have like the same, I would say, motivation. Well, not really motivation, but like I would say they have like the same passion for like certain things, like problems going on in the community, like such as what their ICE raids are or like issues that are going on in school. And like I feel like for me too, it like Tekyo made a positive impact on my life, because I got to make like a lot of friends, and like a lot of, I can connect to a lot of these friends, like relate to them in a lot of ways, considering that like a lot of them are like me, and like we come from the same culture, like same backgrounds. So
yeah. So do you also do things with the Oxnard Tekyo youth? Have you met them, or is it just,
I think when we, like, the first time that we actually, or well, I personally interacted with Oxnard's Tekyo was during the Oye trip, like, when we had our activities.
During the retreat?
Yeah.
So you all go to the same?
Yeah.
The same forest?
Yeah, yeah, basically.
And you share cabins with them. And you, so are these things that you get to do because of Tekyo? Do you feel like you'd be able to do these things otherwise if it weren't for this group?
Personally, me, I don't think so, you know, because, like, I mean, like, I was able, like, for example, like, the food distribution, I feel like if I wasn't with Tekyo, like, I would have never, like, be, like, the one actually, like, packing the food and, like, handing it out. Or, like, also with the retreat, like, I feel like that it was expensive. I feel like it would have been expensive, and, like, I feel like I wouldn't have been able to afford that, you know, without, like, the help of Tekyo. So I feel like they also have brought me, like, a bunch of, like, new experiences. And they've also, like, helped me, like, connect with, like, other people, so I could be, like, involved with other stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Lorena?
I think the same goes with me, but more specifically on, like, that a bunch of groups, like, other organizations, they don't focus on the same things that Tekyo does. Because I know, like, there's other organizations that focus on different stuff, like, such as the environment. But Tekyo, they focus more on, like, indigenous stuff. And so like, I feel like I wouldn't have gotten the same experiences. Like, same with the Oye trip, because that's, like, something that's really expensive and not something that I would have been able to afford out of pocket, like, just like that. So,
yeah, what are some other groups or activities you're also involved in? Because you both do a lot.
So me and Lorena, we're both involved in CAUSE, Tekyo. I'm involved Well, I think you are too, yeah. We're involved with Fighting Back Santa Maria, and we're involved in recently I got involved in Youth Well, and I think like one community action too, yeah, with like Anaí. So we're involved with like the Raíces and the Sembradores one for me.
And OCA.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of groups.
Yeah.
Javier's counting over there. And you, Lorena, the same ones?
We're basically the same ones, but like there's also school clubs. So.
Oh, yeah,
school yeah, clubs. Yeah, what school clubs are you in?
I'm in Astra and also in, I forgot the name of it.
Sharon Care.
Oh, Sharon Care. Yeah, that.
Sharon Care?
Yeah.
Yeah. So community is really important to you both, serving the community. Yeah, very good. So what's something you would like our listeners to know about Indigenous Mexican youth on California's Central Coast?
Okay, something I would want them to know, I feel like would be like, oh, like that they're not alone, you know, like there's like resources for them. There's like other people who really wants to see them succeed. There's like people who like care for them. And I feel like a lot of other youth like that should know that, oh yeah, like there's like people out here for you, and that you shouldn't like took away from like the world, or you shouldn't like just keep to yourself when there's like a lot of resources out there to help you. Mm-hmm.
And, like, to add on that, I feel like there's places such as Tequio that, like, help these youth feel more empowered and, like, I feel, like, more motivated to speak up and, like, also learn about their indigenous roots.
You feel like Tequio youth has helped you be a better student?
I feel like, yeah, because... So, like, before, when, like, the Tequio meetings are, like, at 6, no, right? At 6. Yeah. So then, like, it's, like, okay, like, I had to, like, lock in and do all my homework, like, before, like, Teresa comes pick me up. So I feel like, yeah, like, she, like, kind of forces me to do my homework. So, yeah.
I would say the same thing, because, like, also, if we don't understand things, like schoolwork-wise, we could, when we, like, go to the Tequio meetings, they also help us sometimes there with homework if we need it, or we just help each other out, so. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's great. So there's a lot of peer-to-peer interaction. So how can our listeners help support and advocate for Indigenous Mexican youth on California's Central Coast? What would you say they can do? Because most of our listeners are not Mixteco. They're not Indigenous Mexican. This may be the first time they're learning about all of these groups. What is something you'd like them to know that they can do to support this community?
I would say one of like the most important things is educating yourself on Indigenous Mexican communities. And like, I feel like one of the most important things is like to know that there's a bunch of different like type of, I would say, I don't know if it's dialects, but like different type of Mixtecos. Like there's more than one type of Mixteco, and like, just educate yourself. And then like another thing would be, I would say, like, support local organizations that advocate for these Indigenous youth. And I would say one of these organizations would be MICOP. And like, I feel like some ways that you could help out would be like, once again, like Javier said, was donating to the website, or even volunteering and also attending events or fundraisers such as the Tequio Rising.
Very good. I'm going to ask you the same question in just a moment, Jackie, but I have to make this announcement. This is Lada Murti with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, your listener-supported radio station. If you recently joined us for today's show and want to listen to the entire broadcast, you can. It's available on our website at www.kcbx.org under the On Demand tab. Click on Central Coast Voices and you will find this show and many others to choose from. This is a pre-recorded show, but we welcome your emailed questions about Tequio Youth Group. Please send them to voices@kcbx.org, and we will pass them on to today's guests. Javier Mondar, Program Co-Coordinator for Tequio Youth, and also Tequio Youth members Lorena and Yaki. Those are my guests today. And we are talking about the difference that Tequio Youth is making in local Indigenous Mexican youth's lives. So, Jackie, I'm going to ask you the same question I just asked Lorena. What can our listeners do to help support the Indigenous Mexican community?
I feel like what kind of what Lorena said, like, yes, like definitely like learning more about like what like different like kind of like different like groups there are, you know, and definitely like also like learning more about like Micope as a whole, because there's like a lot of resources out there that can help you, and just like make, yeah, kind of like, again, like donating to like your rising and like helping like other kids and like me and Rolena like get to college and stuff. Definitely that would like, I feel like that would be like a very good like helping thing.
Yeah, yeah. So other than Micope or MyCop, what are some other resources our listeners could go to educate themselves about the Mixteco community? Can you think of any others?
I think there's also like, oh, if you go to like to One Community Action, I feel like they have a lot of different resources about that too.
One Community Action, which is another group in Santa Maria. So on their website, they have resources as well.
I would say more on One Community Action's Instagram page, and if not, like at their office.
Okay.
Because I know at their office, they have a lot of like information pamphlets on like different like type of information and stuff
on the Mixteco community on the Central Coast. Yeah, that's great. What do you see as the future of Indigenous Mexican youth, including yourselves, on California's Central Coast?
I definitely see like a very bright future for like literally like everyone. So like for all people in my group, like I see them going off to like a good 4-year university, or I see them like getting like having like a good, like having like the future that they deserve. I definitely like see that in like everyone's future, and that's involved with Tecchio.
Very good, Lorena.
Yeah, I agree with Yaki, but like to add on to that too is like a bunch of these youth feel more, or are going to be more like proud in like their culture and their background, especially being Indigenous, and for them to not be, because I know a lot of like youth don't feel like they could just openly talk like their native language, like such as Mixteco. So I see a bunch of I see all of these youth being able to openly talk their native language without being ashamed, and also showing their culture just proudly and openly.
Yeah. Do you both speak a native language?
I don't know how to speak it because my parents never taught me, but my parents, they both speak Chinanteco.
Chinanteco.
I as well don't speak my family's native language, but I do understand it, so.
All right. And what is that language?
My parents speak Mixteco.
Mixteco.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. So what are your future plans or ideas, your career interests?
Okay, well, hopefully, like, after I graduate high school, I hope to go to UC Irvine. And I want to major in biomedical engineering. And hopefully I graduate, and then I want to go... I'm not really sure what I'm gonna do after that, but I'm gonna succeed, and then I'm gonna buy a house for my parents, separate, cause you know, and then I'm gonna buy an apartment complex, so then I could like I could rent it out to other people. So yeah, and I'm gonna live with two cats. Yeah.
Okay. Do you have cats now?
I used to have a cat, but something happened to it. So yeah.
Oh. Okay. So do you see yourself coming back to this area to do all of this?
Okay, to be honest, I kind of don't want to come back because there's just like so much out there in the world, and I feel like if I stay here, like then I won't ever leave. So I feel like once I go, then like I'm going, you know. But I'll probably come back for like my mom and dad, but like I'll just to visit. So yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you, Lorena?
Me personally, I feel like schooling wise, I don't really know. All I know is that I want to study something in medicine, and like after whatever career I have, I hope to like make a lot of money so I could retire my parents. And yeah, I just hope to live like probably in a ranch or something, because I know I don't like really like the city like that. But like, yeah, just mainly hopefully going to college and like being able to retire my parents and like having a lot of money and a lot of bunnies.
So help your parents retire. Yeah. And join you on the ranch?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's great. Can I come visit you on the ranch?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have to keep in touch so I know where your ranch is. What do you see as the future of Thekyo Youth as a group?
I feel like as a group, I definitely see it expanding more. I feel like as like the new generations are going to come, I feel like they're all going to like, it's gonna, definitely going to expand more. It's going to get like huge, like really famous, you know? And I see like a lot of like youth, like really like leaning on towards Thekyo and like having like getting help from them. And I feel like it's just going to be like very prosperous from now on.
Yeah, and to add on to what Yaki said, I also see it expanding, like not just being in Santa Maria and Oxnard, but like also in a lot of like towns or cities. And I also see, hopefully, that there's more like Thekyo clubs at other high schools, because I know that we don't have any like Thekyo clubs here in like at school in Santa Maria, but I know that they do in Oxnard. So hopefully, they do expand these like clubs at other schools as well. But I also hope to see like Thekyo being funded more so that they could help out more students, especially with scholarships.
Yeah. So when you're talking about at school, so they have their own like chapters or clubs of Thekyo Youth at the school, and
yeah,
they meet at the school.
Yeah.
So you'd like to see that happen in Santa Maria. Yeah. And then maybe you will host retreats at your ranch.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I'll make little cabins and everything.
Yeah, there you go. I like that. Tell us again where our listeners can find out more about Thekyo Youth and its work. Or do we need to bring Javier back in for this?
It's okay.
Yeah, you got it? You got it?
Okay. Yeah. I feel like on our Instagram page, too, because we have an Instagram page. Like,
oh, good. Yeah. Yes.
Thekyo_youth.
Thekyo_youth on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would just say like the Instagram page, because right there is like where it's mainly posted when we're going to host our meetings, like where and like what time.
Okay. So that's where listeners can find out about meetings. Mm-hmm. Right. And then you're also on the Mikop or MyCop webpage as well, right, where you can find out general information. Okay. Anything else that you would like to add about yourself as Indigenous Mexican youth or about Thekyo Youth that you want our listeners to know?
Okay. I would say, like, if you're listening, if you're thinking about joining Thekyo, you should definitely join, you know. You should ask, where's Yaki and Lorena? Like, we'll help you. Like, it'll be very fun. So if you're thinking about joining, like, definitely do. Like, it's, like, you're not going to regret it. And I feel like once, like, you join, like, you're never going to want to leave. Like, you're going to be, like, obsessed. Yeah. But yeah, you know.
And to add on to that, too, I would say, like, yeah, and even if you don't have friends to come with you, like, still come. Because most of, literally everyone at Thekyo is, like, really nice. So it's a really welcoming place. So I recommend.
Yeah. Very good. All right. I want to thank today's guests, Thekyo Youth Group members Yaki and Lorena, and also Javier Mondar, Thekyo Youth Program Co-Coordinator. We have been talking about Indigenous Mexican youth on California's Central Coast and what Thekyo Youth Group has meant for them. Next week, join Dr. Mario Espinosa Kulik as he talks to Cesar Vasquez and Patricia Villalobos about more youth organizing and leadership in Santa Maria. You are invited to listen, learn, and participate in the conversation on Thursday, July 3rd, between 1 and 2 p.m. I'm Lotta Murti. Thank you for joining us today.